Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today we are doing chapter 5 of Isaiah. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus, for letting us be here today and for giving us your word. Open our minds and our hearts and give us understanding and wisdom so that we can use your word in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so we're moving on to Isaiah 5, the Song of the Vineyard. And this one's going to be kind of it's a sad chapter.
Oh, no.
Because, what I like about Isaiah is how God's going into detail of what he sees, what he sees in us. And I think it's one of the ones that we probably ignore the most, but he's very visual. He's very visual. He gives us a very detailed visual of what he sees is happening. Right. So I'll start with our first verse. I will sing about the one I love, a song about my loved one's vineyard. The one I love had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He broke up the soil, cleared its stones, and planted it with the finest vines. He built a tower in the middle of it and even dug out a wine press there. He expected it to yield good grapes, but it yielded worthless grapes. So, he uses the vineyard a lot, because we have the other one, I think it's in John, where he talks about, he uses the parable of the vineyard. Remember the one that comes that he yes. sent somebody?
It's also in Matthew.
He leases it out and then he sends a, so here it's the same, it's almost like the same visual. So the Israel, and as we keep reading, we're going to see that he's talking about Israel and Judah, but he's saying that here's a vineyard that the owner loved and he took care of it. And he, it was on a very fertile hill. He broke up the soil. He cleared it of the stones, planted it with the finest vines. He built a tower for security to keep it safe, and then even dug out a wine press there. But it only yields worthless grapes, and it gave fruit, but the fruit was worthless. So, and remember, he also uses talks about good fruit, which gives good works. But here he's saying it was worthless fruit. So worthless fruit gives us dead works. So it's not that there wasn't any fruit. There was fruit, but it was worthless.
But is fruit. This speaking of people or?
Yes, it's talking about the people. And so the owner is God. God is the owner of the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And we're the worthless.
That's what I wanted to ask you, but I didn't want to say it. I was like, that's why.
I know, because at first it was like, well, wait a minute, who's the owner? And then, but no, we're the worthless grapes. We're the, and because think about it too, the way I saw it or could relate to it was as a parent, right? As a parent that you do all this for your kid, right? You love them, you provide for them, you send them to the best schools, you do everything
you
can for them. You try your best with them, you give them everything they need, but then they go and they
throw it all away.
There you go. They throw it all away and you're asking yourself, like, what else could I have done? Yeah, what else could I have done, right? And so, so that's what we're seeing here. God is saying, I did all these things for you, but it provided nothing but worthless grapes. So go ahead.
Now that you say that, what comes to mind is now he's saying, like, I gave up my one and only son for you, and still, it's like still, wow, that's.
And I think too, like, if you were, if you were a rebellious child, like some of us were, you know, and then you remember how good, you know, your parents were, or, you know, and all that. And then, you know, how you, and I guess it's good that you feel that guilt and you feel that shame, you know, like, why did I do those stupid things? You know, we're going to see that that's a good thing when you feel that shame and you feel that guilt, but too, you have a lot of people that don't see that, you know, they don't see, feel that guilt or that. Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. And so then, so now, residents of Jerusalem and men of Judah, please judge between me and my vineyard. So here God is asking, who's to blame? You know, and not that, and we know that God's not to blame, but he's right. Like, because, and then at first I thought, well, why is he asking that? You know, who's to blame? Because I think of the parent and the kid, right? Like, who's to blame?
We blame the parent.
But you know, what do we do? You don't let me do this. You don't let me do that. You don't let me, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's us. But we know that it was in our parents, you know, and we learn, hopefully, that, you know, the children learn that it wasn't the parents. Mm-hmm. And we see the same here. It's God's not to blame. It's us.
Right.
You know, and then for it to be in scripture too, for him to ask in scripture, what more could I have done for my vineyard, you know, for my people? And it's just like, man, like, we're so dumb. So, and then I'll keep reading. Why, when I expected a yield of good grapes, did it yield worthless grapes? Now I will tell you what I am about to do to my vineyard. And so here we go. I will remove its hedge and it will be consumed. I will tear down its wall and it will be trampled. So here God is saying, I'm going to stop tending to it. I'm going to stop tending to it. I'm done. You know, like, I'm done. I'm going to stop tending to it. So he's going to remove its hedge. He's going to remove its security, you know?
Kind of like a gate, right? Because we're like, or in a bubble, and he's about to pop that bubble.
Exactly. You know, because all the owner has to do is stop tending to it, right? You have a vineyard and you're taking care of it, but if it's producing bad fruit, all you have to do is stop, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so here God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop. I'm going to remove my spiritual protection, is what he's saying. I'm going to remove my spiritual protection. And it made so much sense, right? Now looking back on our own journeys. And he says, I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or weeded. Thorns and briars will grow up. I will also give orders to the clouds that rain should not fall. For the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel and the men of Judah. The plant he delighted in, he expected justice, but saw injustice. He expected righteousness, but heard cries of despair. And, you know, sometimes we need to feel the pain of our own sin to repent, right?
Right.
Like, and so once he removed that spiritual protection, you know, sometimes that's the only time, or you don't really realize how protected you were.
Right.
Until he removed it, you know, and again, it comes to mind, like when a child is in rebellion and he wants to move out of your house, you know, like, you don't let me do all this here.
Right.
I'm gone. I'm going to go get my own place because I don't want to follow your rules. Right. So that's what he's doing here. And we also read that, remember, in the last, I think, I don't know if it was the last chapter or the one before, where he says he removes all security. Like, he removes everything and isolates you. So that's what he's doing here. He's removing himself.
So is that when he unveils us, when he lifts the veil, where is that? Is that where he's removing the covering from us, or?
Well, he's leaving us to our sin, our right?
Bad choices is when he removes the covering, right?
Right. Yeah, because he removes that spiritual protection. So it's like, remember when they say that he gives you to your desires.
Right.
Right. Okay. So he's like, well, go for it. You know, so that's what you want. Yeah. Okay. And so that separation happens.
Okay. But when he lifts, like for us, when once he lifts that veil and we see, that's different, right? He's covering us again or no?
Well, we're starting to see the truth, right? We're opening our eyes because it's when he's removing himself that we're opening our eyes. Right. And I think that's the veil, because now we're seeing the truth, right? Because he's removing his protection, and now we're seeing the ugliness. You know, what we thought was good, is now we're seeing that it's bad.
Oh,
but the only thing that's going to bring that covering back or that protection back is if we repent and we return to him.
Right. So because we have his covering, but we're not blinded anymore. We continue to see that the truth, but we're protected because we know better, right? Like we know what this is. This is the enemy. This sin is from the enemy. So we know to make better choices.
He's showing us the truth, but do we accept that truth? I think, because I think that it's there and we're seeing it, but are we seeing it as bad? Because we might still reject God and decide to stay in that. We might harden our hearts instead of returning to the Lord, to that protection. We might harden our
hearts
and stay where we are.
Okay.
I think it's right at the beginning of our journey when it flipped, you know, when everything started going wrong.
You might not be understanding what's happening, but you're seeing it, you know, seeing it, but
so
you're
that's
not.
That's why he kind of backs off.
Yeah, okay. Because, he was kind of protecting you, you know, something good would happen. I mean, something bad would happen, but then something good would happen because he was protecting you. And then this time he's like, nope, go for it now.
Right. And then all those times, anxiety
to turn around, but you didn't turn around all those times, and so now
you're spiraling out of
and
you know,
and I'm not gonna catch you right there, so I'm
that makes all the sense.
You're forced to go looking for him now,
right? Okay.
Yeah, and we're gonna see more because he's gonna tell us in detail here what's gonna happen. So Judah's sins denounced, because that's what we kind of start seeing. You should start seeing your sins, right? You start seeing what you're doing wrong.
Right.
Now, it's our choice to decide what we're going to do with that, right?
Right.
So because you're making, when those things are happening, if you remember, we're having to make choices. We're having to choose. Like, things are spiraling out of control, and you're having to choose, okay, what's the right thing to do here? Right. You're something bad happens and you're like, okay, what are my choices? What's the right thing to do here? You know, cause I feel like there was always those choices there that where I could have made way worse choices, you know, than what I did. And I would have gone in a totally different direction. Had I not seen him.
Right.
And choose to do the right thing. It wasn't the easier thing to do. It was the harder thing to do.
Right.
But it pointed me towards him, you know, it got me closer to him. So I think, like Nana said, it is the beginning of that unveiling where you're seeing that. But in as he unveils little by little, you're having to make these choices. Am I going to go left or right? You know?
Right.
So Judah's sins denounce. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room and you alone are left in the land. I heard the Lord of armies say, indeed, my houses will become desolate, grand and lovely ones without inhabitants. So here he's talking about those that that are the greed and the wealth, the ones that are not that are never satisfied. Like they're the ones that are seeing the sin, but they just want more. They just want to continue. Instead of stopping there, it's like, no, I want more. You know, they're getting in deeper and deeper in their sins. Yeah. And we can see that because here he compares it here. He uses the parable of adding house to house. So you kind of see that now with like the housing development, you know. I know, especially here where I'm at, where all the houses, you know, like they're building more and more and more. And they're, you know, it's like everything's getting really crowded and all that. And, you know, with the way times are and people are still investing in all these huge things, and it makes you wonder, like, what are they, you know, what are they doing? Because things, to me, things are still right now after the pandemic and all the stuff that's going on around the world, like things are still unsettled, but you still see all these things happening.
Right.
So he right. uses that as an example of like the greed and the wealth and never being satisfied. I'd heard the Lord of Armies say, indeed, many houses will become desolate, grand and lovely ones without inhabitants. For a 10-acre vineyard will yield only 6 gallons of wine, and 10 bushels or bushels of seed will yield only one
bushel,
is it? Mm-hmm. Bushel of grain. Woe to those who rise early in the morning in pursuit of beer, who linger into the evening inflamed by wine. At their feast, they have lyre, harp, tambourine, flute, and wine. They do not perceive the Lord's actions, and they do not see the works of his hands. So now he's talking about the people that are, you know, they're continuing with, you know, their business and their partying, they're drinking, like all this stuff is happening around the world, but hey, nothing's changed for them. They're like still going, you know, going hard. Let's keep going. Let's right. make as much, you know, money as we can. Let's, they keep partying and drinking. They're out mm-hmm. and about, like nothing, that all these signs that are happening around them, it's not slowing them down at all.
Right.
They're blind.
People who are right, they're blind to it. They just think this is a good life. We have a every yeah. day. We need to use it if it. How did they say it? Like
take advantage of it
as if it was the last day, or
right,
whatever yes. they yeah. say. Right.
Yep.
And like, they don't realize that they're not under his covering anymore.
Right. So they're just, you know, oh, they're we gotta go at it harder.
You know, but they don't see it. So
they don't see it. Yeah.
Okay, so then they do not perceive the Lord's actions, and they do not see the work of his hands. Therefore, my people will go into exile because they lack knowledge. Her dignitaries are starving, and her masses are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol enlarges its throat and opens wide its enormous jaws. And down goes Zion's dignitaries, her masses, her crowds, and those who celebrate in her. Humanity is brought low, and each person is humbled, and haughty eyes are humbled. So they're blind to what's happening, but he says that therefore my people will go into exile. So now he's talking about the captivity, the Babylon. You know, everything's going to be gone. Like they have no idea what's coming. You know, they have no idea what's coming because they're getting ready to go into exile. They're going to get invaded. So and these are the people too that are making, as we keep reading, they're the ones that are making sin look like it's not sin. Like, you know, right. what's good is evil and what's evil is good.
Okay.
But the Lord which of Armies, like no? which is exactly like now. Yep. But the Lord of Armies is exalted by his justice, and the Holy God demonstrates his holiness through his righteousness. Lambs will graze as if in their own pastures, and resident aliens will eat among the ruins of the rich. So I like how, okay, all the other stuff, it's about what's going to happen to all those who are doing bad and are sinning and not seeing the signs of the Lord. But then here in these 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, he's showing how the lambs will graze, you know, the ones that are being righteous and are under his covering, those, you know, those lambs will still graze in their own pastures, and the resident aliens will eat, which remember we're the aliens here. Among the ruins of the rich. So what the rich can't have, because they're in captivity, we're going to get we'll be taken care of. We'll get to enjoy. So I like how he puts that in there, you know, like all this other stuff, but he doesn't forget about those who are righteous. Cause there's probably not going to be many of us.
Right. Right.
And I say us, like, you know, so.
No, it's true. And is that kind of like what Nina said, like right now, people or whatever's bad, they're making it seem good. So this is why Jesus says he comes to divide houses, right? Because the people that we live with are like, yeah, that's not, you're crazy. This is good. This is life. This is the way it should be. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like divorce, abortion, you know, homosexuality.
Yeah.
All that, they're making it seem like it's, you know,
it's the right thing. It's okay.
Good. It's okay. Yeah.
God's okay with it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So woe to those who drag iniquity with cords of deceit and pull sin along with cart ropes, to those who say, let him hurry up and do all his work quickly, so that we can see it. Let the plan of the Holy One of Israel take place so that we can know it. So here are the people that are even mocking God, like, yeah, the world's going to end, or, you know, like, yeah, we're this and that. Oh, well, you know, I'm it doesn't matter to me, or I'm fine. Or, so they're mocking God. They're kind of saying like, okay, well, let's see what you got, God, you know, let's see what you got. I'm here. I'm ready for it. You know?
Right.
But
then they're going to end up like in the scripture. Remember, the rich man ended up in hell and the poor man was in heaven.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, can you send me some water? Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. And we see that, you know, like it's all a joke. Like, oh, wow, I got plenty of time. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy my time right now. You know, when I get old, I'll get right with God. Like, nope.
No.
At this point, God's pretty pissed, you know. So,
and we know he stays the same. He doesn't change, and he's not going to change for anyone. He's the same.
Nope.
Yesterday,
because he provided a way out, and he's trying to tell us, hey, there's a way out, but people are too, you know, it's like there's this chaos and there's a little door over here, and he's trying to tell you, hey, there's a way out. And like somebody's trying to tell you the exit's right here, but there's so much chaos, and you see everybody running that way that you're following instead of paying attention, looking up where he's pointing to the door that way, you know?
The arrows flashing neon.
But you better have your passport, you know, that he gave you.
That's
better have your resident alien card.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So, you know, and that tells us that, okay, you might think that you're getting away with whatever it is you're doing, but God is calling everybody out right here. Like, hey, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. So woe to those who consider themselves wise and judge themselves clever. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, who are champions at pouring beer, who acquit the guilty for the bribe and deprive the innocent of justice. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes straw, and as dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will become like something rotten, and their blossoms will blow away like dust. For they have rejected the instruction of the Lord of armies. So here he's saying, hey, I'm seeing all of this. I'm not missing any of it. And that the judgment that's coming is going to be severe. It ain't going to be, you know, some little thing here. No, it's going to be, you know, life or death.
Right.
So, and the people are acting like they're ignoring God. They're like, you know, they've already forgotten God. They're like, you know, they'd rather listen to what everything that the man, you know, people are saying, the law of the man, you know, they're listening to all of that and they don't care what.
Or do you think they have this mentality as, well, you know, I already made things right with God. I go to church every weekend and I'm good. So don't tell me
that.
I'm
not good. Yeah.
They could, because we kind of did that too. Like we're okay. You know, we're okay. I believe in God. But looking back too, I could see where I missed a lot of the signs where, you know, it's like we were protected in, you know, in that vineyard. And then the signs did start getting kind of, you know, I mean, things started changing and he did remove that covering. And I'm glad that I was, you know, quicker than slower to return to him, and that I picked made the right choices to return to him. But looking back, like I wish I would have taken those signs more seriously sooner than, you know, than than when I did, you know, because right. There were signs there when I was younger that I think I could have picked up on sooner. So, but you know, I mean, that's the thing. But you can't say that he didn't. Exactly, it's never too late, and right. It's you know, the warnings are there, the signs are there. I won't deny that they weren't, because they
were. Well, and I think you said before, back then we were young, you know, we're trying to blend in with the crowd. So the last thing we were thinking of is let's follow God. We know about him. We knew about him. We grew up with our parents being so faithful. But at the same time, it's like, we don't want to be the oddball out. We want to be in the in crowd, you know?
Well, I think you bring up a good point, because it wasn't until we lost that covering that we were opened our eyes, you know, right. And sometimes, and that we're going to see that's what God does here too, you know, that yeah. he's allowing these things, and he's doing this judgment because to try and save us, because like the path, he already sees the path that they're on. Mm-hmm. So the judgment that's coming, it's in hopes that people right. open their eyes and they right. return to him, you know?
And, you know, not just us falling, but even our spouses, people who are married, you think mm-hmm. our spouses or us, we can even bring our spouses to the sin, right? It's not necessarily, yeah. you know, you can be an adult too and marry someone and follow the sin that way too. So we have to be careful.
Right. Well, I don't think we don't realize how lost we are.
Right.
Or sinful right. we are, so we don't realize how sinful we are. Yeah. So therefore, the Lord's anger burned against the people. He raised his hand against them and struck them. The mountains quaked, and their corpses were like garbage in the streets. In all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is still raised to strike. He raised a signal flag for the distant nations and whistled for them from the ends of the earth. Look how quickly and swiftly they come. So, and remember, it's like, I think a lot of, I don't know, maybe because God to me always looked like a father figure, you know, like, I think you think mm-hmm. God, I think a lot of people see God as soft and not like this mighty king. And mm-hmm. just, I could, you know, when this is that he whistles, that all, you know, that he whistles for the other nations to come. And these are the enemies, the nations that are coming to invade Israel and Judah, right. you know, he had been protecting them from that before. Now he's just whistling for them to come, you know, like, and to me, like right. the way I envision that, like just the power of him, that all it takes is a whistle, you know,
right.
because he's going to use the other nations as the instruments of judgment. So none of them grows weary or stumbles. No one slumbers or sleeps. So now he's describing these other, the nations that are coming. They're not weary. They don't slumber or sleep. Their belts aren't loose. No sandal strap broken. Their arrows are sharpened and all their bows strung. Their horses' hooves are like flint. Their chariot wheels are like a whirlwind. Their roaring is like a lion's. They roar like young lions, and they growl and seize their prey and carry it off, and no one can rescue it. On that day, they will roar over it like the roaring of the sea. When one looks at the land, there will be darkness and distress. Light will be obscured by the clouds. So he's describing that's the enemy that's coming towards Israel. And remember, what is Israel and Judah doing? They're getting drunk. They're partying, they're relaxed, they're, you know, we don't have to worry about it. We're protected, yeah. we're good.
We're chosen,
know?
Right.
Yeah, we're chosen. Right. I believe in God, I'm good. And here comes this invasion, you know, right. that's about right. to, like, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be like dust, like he says, it's, their corpse are going to be in the streets like garbage.
Right.
So he says total darkness. There will be total darkness and distress obscured by the clouds. So it's going to be not good. So that's where we're going to stop today. But yeah. I think, you know, again, God is doing this to
wake us up.
To wake us up and to save us. Like he's allowing this to happen in hopes that we learn and that we return to him, that we repent and return to him. And in the same way as a parent does when your child rebels and leaves, that they learn, but then they return to you, right? And then, and we're going to see in the coming chapters how God also has a plan for restoration and how he's going to has mercy on Israel and Judah. But I like the detail of Isaiah. It tells us a lot, but I don't think we understand that enough on what God sees, you know. I think we think he's blind to a lot of the things that we do, and this tells us that nope, he's right on it, you know.
Right. And I want to go back to how you say how people picture God, because growing up, my mom and my grandma will call him Diosito. So you hear Diosito like a little old guy, right?
No, and that's so true.
I never heard that.
That's what my mom, pídele a Diosito. I think you think of him as
a soft guy, like
nice, kind, loving, like our grandparents, right? I think like our fathers or our grandparents when they're, you know, I don't think we ever picture him as an angry father. We picture him as just that tender, loving father, right?
But she would say, Diosito te va a castigar. Diosito te va a castigar, like he will punish you, you know. I wish it was discipline, because it's more discipline than punish, but it would scare us, you know. So we did, I think, because she said that.
Because she would always say Diosito ve, Diosito oye, Diosito. Yeah, she would say all those things too. But I think we
fear of him. Thank God, you know, that we did have.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's true. That's true. We did have some fear of him, you know, and I think, and we were young then, you know, so we don't really know until as we get older in our families, and especially, and I think too, with that we have now, like the pandemic wasn't a good thing, but I think it brought a lot of things into perspective, like, hey, we can lose everything like really fast, you know. Or even like the disasters that we see here, like the hurricanes, you know, we know what it's like to be without power, you know, and how it can be total darkness and how scary that is. We know what it's like when we don't have water, because when the freeze that all our, you know, pipes busted and all that stuff. So, and those are little, imagine like that for a long period of time, you know, because he says, I'm going to remove the rain from the vineyard. You know, if we that's just a couple of days without water. Imagine months, years, you know, like
labor pains that could
take. Yeah, those are all signs, and it's scary. So I think for people, if we don't see that now and take that into consideration of how blessed we are, how protected we are, and want to change for the better and to learn more about God, like, you know what, this is true and I want to learn more about God, then, you know, it's scary. So
no doubt. And so that brings me to our psalm, which I think it is going to be perfect here, right? Because I'm going to read Psalms 86, verse 10. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. I will praise you with all my heart, Lord my God, and will honor your name forever, for your faithful love for me is great, and you rescue my life from the depths of Sheol. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next week for chapter six.
I think we'll do six and seven.
Six and seven. See you then. Bye-bye.